You know what? For all the parents that tell their kids not to play video games, kids, you can tell your parents to shut their mouths because there's a career in this. There is a career in this. Shut your mouth, Mum. I'm making money. I'm going to raise Slander Norris.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the F1 Alternative with us here at Verge with the amazing co-hosts Sam Wilson and Matthew Connell.
How are you guys? Feel overqualified here in co-hosts.
And I picked you up massively there.
Imposter syndrome, strong.
So the bar's higher now. Can only go one way. Guys, how have you been doing?
Good. I'm getting a bit of cabin. I've been stuck inside and not been able to go out. I've got a car sat outside my front door that I've not been able to drive for about 4 days. So
I'm just looking at the car?
Yes. It's beautiful. I just want to put my foot on the pedal at one point.
But you can sit. You can sit in the car. You're allowed to go. Well, I mean, just as an update, obviously at the time, Boris has laid the smack down. Look, Boris has told everyone that you're all grounded, all of you. So we've all been getting in trouble for other people's behaviours. Kind of, you know, very similar to me growing up. Darren, my brother. Thank you for that. So, guys, how are you coping? Because obviously now we're without any sports and we're without freedom.
It's difficult, and I think, you know, it's weird not being able to see humans other than, you know, whether it's partners we live with or whatnot. So I've resorted to having conversations and smiling at cereal boxes because there's different characters in those.
Tony the Tiger.
Don't use my TV. Don't use internet. I'm just like.
Anytime someone calls now, it gets to a point where you're just like, hey, do you want to FaceTime?
Exactly. You know when you get a phone call and you kind of like give it a couple of rings. I'm just on the first ring. Hello. Yeah.
It didn't even ring.
It's for a rat.
Well, I mean, it's not like I have anything else to do, realistically, is it? So,
no. we are powering through, but I mean, you know, just as first off, let's give a massive salute to the NHS workers who are risking their lives and basically, you know, saving us all. So, super, superheroes. And I'm glad that they are, you know, being rewarded with and acknowledged by everyone, giving a round of applause and also singing a Liverpool song, because it is a Liverpool song, which is their anthem. Salute to them all. Like, honestly, we wouldn't, I don't know what we'd do without them, literally, you know.
Literal heroes, right? I mean, it's hard times, unprecedented times. We've upgraded our service. We've now got video call. Obviously, last episode, you had us in an audio-only experience. Here we are, live and direct. So I thought we'd commemorate this special moment. I don't know about you, Andre, you might have not got the memo, but me and Sam, I've got special backgrounds because, of course, we are in our homes. So, Sam, do you want to show us what you have?
This is going to be uncomfortable, I can tell.
Yeah, so I decided to take this moment to commemorate the start of the season. We're still waiting for it, but I just thought I'd jump in and join the boys on the grid. You know?
Congratulations, Sam.
You almost look like you can sit in the lineup.
He literally could.
Happily, hold on.
Hold on, look at this.
Bottas is not going to be happy. You look like you're sitting on their laps, like you won a raffle.
Battery, if you listen to this or see this, I apologise.
I'm going to step out of the way.
Part of the team. It looks great.
What we have to do is just do a picture for our social where you can actually just stand on the side. just put him, edit him in the picture. What's he going to do? So I want to see Matt. I want to see Matt's now. Matt's going to do something.
I just thought, okay, for this little beauty.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Colour signs, look at that. Pole. look at the happiness.
That was... I think the best poll, full stop.
The most magical poll. I mean, it's also you could also double up that picture as it's the McLaren team leaving quarantine in Melbourne. This is as equally as happy as they must have been.
That's true. That's,
look at this. This, they're all celebrating. They're all having a good time.
Man, if you was, if you was in orange, then you would be able to join the team as well. So, anyway. So speaking of McLaren.
Yeah.
So there's some news about the staff returning from quarantine. From Melbourne to go into quarantine.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there were 16 team members left behind. On Twitter, McLaren made it clear yesterday that they were basically confirmed that all of the team that were left behind in isolation heading home, which is amazing to hear. It's great news. And it's, you know, of course, for those that might have not been on the Formula One radar, McLaren were the first team to have a team member that was diagnosed with coronavirus. And I managed to speak to some of the team out there for McLaren. And yet, when that news broke, of course, all they could do was go back to the hotel room, sit up and wait, and half of them, they all had to wait to get tested. And obviously, that was a very nervous time to them. They just sat in their hotel rooms. They didn't really know when a nurse or doctor would come around to test them. And what is great is actually most of them, and almost all of them, weren't diagnosed. So it's only a very small select few. And everyone else is home. So happy days.
No, it's good. Good. I'm happy that they're well.
The one thing I love about this is that, like, for me, McLaren's always been a team. It's always been a big team effort. You know, they all support each other. And I think it was 7, am I right, Matt, that were tested? They all came back negative.
That's right, yeah.
But they also had management that stayed out with them as well. So, like, even in a situation like this, like, the teamwork's still so important to them. Like, their managers stayed out with them. Even then, they were stuck in a hotel. They're all self-isolated together, and they've all come home, which is really nice. Like, in a situation like that, the last thing you want is to be sat on your own in a hotel room. And like,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's Melbourne. There could be worse places in the world. You could imagine.
They could be.
Croydon. That's what I can imagine. Big up Croydon. So there's news now about the F1 teams. Regarding Project Pit Lane. Sorry about my. I haven't spoken to humans for a long time.
Difficult. It's very difficult.
Small children chasing them around. So excuse me, me not just being able to say no. Please don't do that. No, don't do that. No. Put that back. No, don't do this. That's what I've been saying for the last week. So yes, bear with me, guys. So yeah, Project Pit Lane.
Project Pit Lane. I know we talked about it last week. There was a rumor, well, it wasn't a rumor, there was some basic chatter about 4 teams helping the UK government put ventilators together, which was a great news when it was announced. Actually, we've had update today that there is now, I think, 7 teams. Is it 17? Yeah, 7 UK based teams are involved in what they've now coined Project Pit Lane. So, using their rapid prototyping machines, their advanced engineering to basically help the government understand what to do. So some of that is testing, reverse engineering. It's called the Ventilator Challenge UK. Is the official project that they're all part of. Project Pit Lane is just for F1 fans. The team so far, you've got Aston Martin, Rebel Racing, Racing Point, Haas, McLaren, Mercedes, Renault, and Williams. So, yeah, good selection teams, and it's good to see that, you know, it wasn't a rumour that came out and it's actually going ahead, and we're going to get, hopefully, we're going to do some good work, realistically.
That's amazing.
Isn't it incredible that, you know, we kind of praised upon last week, and, you know, we said people aren't aware of F1 and might not be aware of what these teams can do. This is it. You know, there's so many companies around the world, universally, that are being asked to take part of the challenge. I've seen it in the news that Donald Trump is getting pretty peeved at companies that are promising X amount of ventilators to fight the cause. Of course, it's very difficult. It's a moment in time that I don't think anyone want, if this happened again, you could even prepare for or get it right again. And it's great that these many F1 teams have so many things that are going on with them, having to completely, you know, do a complete 360 on their plans for next season, the rules, and keep going. And you just think all those personnel are doing so well to be adaptable and go, look, this is it. This is now the mission. Racing and sport as a whole can hold. And it's amazing. It's a full credit to everyone that uses their technical knowledge and doing something completely right. So, you know, good luck to all those teams. Really hope that, you know, that project goes a long way. And yeah, hopefully we start seeing some lives being saved.
And so now we've actually found out a little bit more, like a gossip from one of the drivers, revealing basically WhatsApp conversations with Grosjean, revealing like pretty much Vettel was just like, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm gone, literally gone. I'm at the airport. So what did you guys think about that? So give us a background story on that.
I mean, if you got flight options, you get out of here. So yeah, so of course, one of the biggest first rumours coming out of the Melbourne paddock was, of course, that when there was news of the idea of cancelling the Melbourne Grand Prix, there was a lot of hearsay coming out of the paddock that didn't really become official news. And I think a lot of people, if you're even the most casual of Formula One fans, looking at Twitter, could see that Kimi and Seb Vettel was trending. And you're thinking, what's going on here? And, you know, it's like anything. Back in the day on Twitter, when you see a celebrity names pop up, it's like, oh God, not what's going on here? He's dead. You know, it's like, David Attenborough, if he starts trending, happy patient. I saw Kimmy and Seb trending, and I was thinking, this, I saw Kimmy and Seb trending, and I was thinking, oh, this is really weird. Have they got the virus? And of course, no. They just hit the high road and were the first guys to get out of the country.
Like, gone.
We're out. And I can imagine Kimmy be like, no, yes, I'm gonna get out of here.
I can't even speak to anyone. Like, he has just got. What I find funny is that Vettel was just like literally like imagine it's us and you're like, oh, hey, just letting you know that this, you know, the race is off, you know, as far as my team is there. Okay. Well, yeah. You know, you can go. I'm already gone. I'm getting on the airplane now.
Well, like, it's a crazy thing. And Seb and Kimi got out there pretty quick. And I think what was amazing about this story from Roman Grosjean was that he got a text at 3 a.m. from Seb Vettel in the middle of the night, being like, mate, I'm leaving. See if you're not. See you later.
This, right? Vettel's at the airport texting Grosjean. Grosjean's like, I was in bed.
He didn't even wait till the morning. Just like, I'm gone. Bye. I didn't even know flights leave that time in the morning. Like, I don't know what type of flight he's got, but I want one of those.
It was Etihad.
Was that a no? So he got on a regular flight?
He got on an Etihad flight. So big up Etihad. Just like, they had a service ready to go, and that was it. So.
Just literally just like gone. Bye.
I like it. I like how the old school dudes just went, you know what, we are getting out of here. We're out. And you know, they guessed right. Thankfully, even the ones that stayed behind, you know, didn't get into too much trouble, but why not, Why not?
This is classic Raikkonen as well, just being like, the race is off. Okay, bye.
Yeah, literally. That's what, you know what, just on the side subject of that, do you feel like he still has the passion for racing? Like, obviously we don't know him, we're just doing it from what we can see, but like, because there's a little bit of I think we touched on it before a little while ago, like some younger racers are like, can you move, you know, you should be stepping out of the way.
I feel like he's still got the passion because racing is what he loves. But I don't feel like it's a career to him anymore. So it's not him pushing every weekend to be on the top. It's him going out for almost like a Sunday drive. But I also saying that, like,
as you said, sorry, in his adverts, I take my time.
Yeah, I think 100%. Like, we have to at one point talk about that YG power that they did for Ferrari, because that's hilarious. But yeah, he has a motocross team. He's a rally, he was a rally driver, so he clearly loves his racing. But he's got his family now. Like, I think it was today or yesterday, he posted a picture of his family in a cabin back at home, like in the in a fire, like quality family was the caption. So clearly, he still loves his racing, and I get it. Like, there's younger drivers that can fill that space, but at the same time, we can't look past the pedigree that is Kimi Raikkonen. Like, he has an amazing history in Formula One, and he is an inspiration to, I know a lot of young drivers say, oh, Lewis Hamilton's my inspiration, or yeah, Michael Schumacher was how I got into it, or like, as Hamilton said, Senna was what I got into the sport for. Drivers in Raikkonen's hometown or in a home country that are like looking at him as a big celebrity. So he has got this amazing power that he is who he is, and he's still inspiring people to get involved. So while I'd love to see more drivers come through, and I think, rightly so, at 40 years old, I think he's 40, it's a good time to retire. While I would love to see that happen, I feel like we don't want to push him out the door too fast, because he is a good person for the sport.
And the minimal sound bites, I can't live without those. I want the simplicity. I want Kimmy. It's kind of like, you just want him to stick around. It's like, there's no one really like that in football. It's like, you want characters like your James Milners and Zlatans. I want my Kimi Räikkönen to stick around. I want him to sit there and just be as simple and minimalistic as he wants to be. It is amazing, and I love it. I hope he sticks around for another couple of years. I don't care what team he's in. I just want him to be there. I want some of the post-race, be like, how you doing? I want to hear his radio chilling. What the hell are you doing? And that's it. Rock and roll.
Right. But some more, obviously good news from a possibly alarming situation. Lewis Hamilton had to go into isolation just as a precaution. He is... obviously pretty much the biggest face of the sport at the moment. You know, what's your view about what he had to do? And obviously, thankfully, he's okay.
To be fair, I think he's done the right thing. You know, he was in contact with, I think it was Idris Elba and Sophie Trudeau. And I feel like he did the right, he made the right move. There's millions of people out there that look at his Instagram, and, you know, he's following government guidelines. And I think that's a good thing to do. Like, someone of that influence showing the world that actually, I want to do stuff. And Lewis is the kind of person that goes all over the world, you know, for his fashion shows, he goes to LA, he goes all over the country, all over Europe. And I think for him to self-isolate for 7 days, also not see his dad, like, he's had some good quality time with his dad in the off-season. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. To self-isolate and show the world that
it's okay to do it. So, on to AlphaTauri. I'm still getting used to the name. But they're saying the teams have saved money because of the virus, obviously, outbreak.
Yeah. So, from a technical perspective, what that basically means is they don't have the double engineering costs that they were going to have next year. So, developing a 2020 car and a 2021 car. So basically, when you're designing a Formula One car, if the regulation changes are minor, you take a lot of what you had before. So you adapt your chassis, you know, you adapt your gearbox and all that kind of stuff, but you car entirely. So you save a lot of money by either repurposing parts, repurposing designs, improving designs. And you know, you can see that from 2019 to 2020, the cars aren't massively different. I mean, other than aerodynamics packages, so front wings, rear wings, barge boards, brake ducts, all those kind of things, they're very different, but the actual chassis of the car and the floor and stuff like that are a little pretty much similar. So what that means is this year, because 2021 was going to be an entirely new car, they'd have to design like massively from start. They don't have to do that this year anymore. So they were already struggling with some funds. You know, they've lost all of those races. There's a reduction of prize money. So it's just good that they don't have to spend more money developing a new car. They can, it saves them money. So they develop their 2021 car from a basis of what they've got this year. And then in 2021, when everything's calmed down and we're back to normal and coronavirus is kind of waved goodbye, then they can develop a 2022 car under the new regulations using those new chassis, new structure. So, but actually on that point, talking about that, one point we haven't talked about is McLaren. So McLaren have actually got, they're not allowed to adjust their chassis too much, or teams are not allowed to adjust their chassis too much one season. But actually, as of next year, or as of what was going to be the new regs 2021, McLaren had signed a new contract for their engine supplier to switch from Renault to Mercedes. Now, the problem, their engines are very different. They wouldn't have fitted into their existing chassis because the chassis is built around the engine. So McLaren have been given special permission to adapt their chassis to fit the new Mercedes engine, which is a good thing, because what we didn't want to see is money being, because that would have cost McLaren money, right? And McLaren, I'm not going to say they're struggling for cash, but you know, they're not as flush as Ferrari. What we don't want to see is losing a fair chunk of change and then struggling with development, because they've had such a journey to get to where they are. You know, they've come from basically bottom of the midfield right up to the top of the midfield. We want to see them again, like all teams, you want to see them compete for the podium. So we don't
want aren't the other teams going to have her? Because usually, you know, when one does something, the other team complains about it because everyone's watching each other. So isn't that going to be a problem down the line when someone else wants to say, oh, actually, we have to make a change. They've done it. You've given them permission. We can do it too.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that is a valid point. Teams always complain about each other. It's just the way this... Actually, the FIA will probably keep a very close eye on it. I don't know the specifics, but I'm pretty sure they have a valid reason, right? They're not going to change their chassis completely. All they're trying to do is chassis to fit an engine in. So the changes aren't going to be massive. They're going to be... Because it's structural change in the engine, they have to change that to be able to fit it in properly. So the FIA will keep a very close eye on it. But I think with everything that's going on, people have turned around and gone, all right, you've got a new engine. You're either not racing next year or you're not racing in 2022 because you've lost all your money because you've had to pay for an engine you can't use. So just move your chassis a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
It's like,
as a team, so like, you want to get racing at the end of the day and you want to have a good season. And, you know, it's a new engine. It's a contract already in place. So it'll be quite – the changes won't be massive, but I think the FIA will keep a close eye on it.
Right, so next up was we actually had some competitive sports to be able to watch last week. So I'm thrilled. And I think I could possibly say, besides chess, maybe that was cancelled too, but that was the only sport of competitiveness that was actually on television, full stop. Even Sky did it, put it on.
Yeah.
Big things. Was the F1 E Grand Prix in Bahrain, with a whole host of special guests. So, guys, did you get to watch it?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know what? For all the parents that tell their kids not to play video games, kids, you can tell your parents to shut their mouths because there's a career in this. There is a career in this. Shut your mouth, Mum. I'm making money. I'm going to race Lando Norris. You could be a kid. You know what, like... It's unbelievable that we've got this amazing access. I know,
the sound bite, I can imagine. You can tell your parents, just shut up.
Exactly. Don't quote me. Like, please, you know, kids, adults, students, just maybe don't take that tone on you know,
please,
your family, you know, loved ones.
Parents. If you want to get in touch with at Matt Connell photo on Instagram, I'm happy to be able to pass thoughts to him.
Parenting the child therapy. If you need one-to-one therapy, one processing, I would just say, think about your future. Think about the career. Think of what your children can do for you. Because, you know, it's incredible. Right? There was e-racers that were, you know, outdoing. You know, across the weekend, there was a whole host of different esports races. And, you know, these e-gamers are no joke. They really, really hold, you know, I was tuning into Lando Norris's Twitch all across the weekend because, to be honest, that was the best place to watch. I probably saw 20% of that Bahrain race through Sky Sports. I wanted to see how the presentation was. I thought, you know, Tom Deacon and the gang did a good job to, you know, on the platforms, so have it on YouTube, to have it on Sky Sports to front this. But you know what? The build up was too long for me. I was on Lando's Twitch stream, and you know, I picked the right moment to tune in because I kept on flipping him in and out. When I tuned back in the third or fourth time, bang, he was on the phone calls. George Russell, Max Verstappen, Jarv, Michus, he got called in, Zach Brown. I mean, it was a whole host. Carlos Sainz, his teammate, he got his advice, called up George Russell, asking for advice from how to drive from the back of the grid because his game crashed. Because his game crashed in qualifying. Lando was a bot for the majority of the race. To be honest, forget the whole race. Like, Gang Yu Zhou won the race for Renault, and You know, Johnny Herbert was in there, was leading a race near the start. But it's all about Lando. It's all about Lando and Lando Butt, because Lando was a racer, was a bot. He couldn't get into the game for about 70% of that race. So as he was sitting at home trying to get F1 to send him a link to rejoin the game, he was just sitting there. And his avatar, I think for majority of the race, was at third or fourth place. So he jumped in.
His avatar was basically better than Lando.
It was better.
He went from like 16th up to like third at one point.
Yeah.
He joined in and just ruined it all.
Exactly. Yeah. He had Lando just shouting, "Come on, Lando, but it was like an out of body experience for him. He was watching himself. It's unbelievable. So, you know, it was great entertainment. You know, it was, I think he finished fourth in the end. He had a massive collision at the end. Jeremy Broadbent ruined his moment there. But hey, you know what? It was great. It's just great. This isn't competitive sports. You know, we called it last week. We said that Hülkenberg could be involved, and he was.
You give that shout out. Yeah.
Smashed off the line, which, you know, yeah. I remember watching the race. That's that. And I was like, there goes Hulk.
Carnage. Johnny Herbert just took that opportunity, went from the lead from 16th. OG, just showing how it's done.
He definitely, definitely crashed through a sign in qualifying.
Absolutely. You know, it's real. It's some random people in there, man. We had Chris Hoy, Ian Poulter.
But hang on, though. Chris Hoy is a Le Mans racer. He's a gentleman driver.
He's a racer at heart.
He's a racer at heart. He's racing quite.
Yeah. Racer of heart and racer of hearts, Liam Payne. Come on.
I like that. He's on form today. Fire emojis there.
Yeah, I wish I was quick enough I could change my background to flames, because I'd be on just that. Technology is difficult, man.
Hang on, wait. And that is out of this world, mate.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, some of these backgrounds, I think over this time of quarantine content, we'll be using the most random backgrounds possible. Definitely. Well, I'm the boring one today. It's only because I don't know how to do it.
I think it should be a different one every week, and you can bring the funniest.
Yeah, I got to see them all. I got to flip through them all. I definitely did.
I think the biggest thing about that race was, like, it was so good to have so many different celebs involved. Like, Liam Payne was a surprise one for me. I mean, I was on the Instagram feed, I saw the grid come up, and I was like, wait, have they got the right, you know, when they get the wrong
image? Is it the real one?
Have they got the wrong image of Liam Payne? I was like, sure. I mean, he's racing for Williams. He was never going to be on the front of the movie. But yeah, I feel like...
Yes! Killer!
Wow!
Nicholas Hamilton coming in was funny.
That was cool.
Ian Poulter as well. Ian Poulter did right, to be fair. I was surprised at Ian Poulter.
You know what? Salute to Lando Norris, because I think in this time, obviously, where people are you know, pretty sad. Obviously, you know, everyone knows what the greater good is. You know, obviously, we don't need to keep on harping on about that and why we're all at home. But you know, in these times where people are like nervous and worried and, you know, all these other worries that we've got in the real big outside world. But for him to be able to, like, kind of unify everyone and actually draw in new people into F1 through his platform is, you know, salute to you. Honestly, he's been the leader of the new school when it comes to inclusion, and obviously including esports as well.
Yeah, I think, Danny Rick said about him when he came on. So Danny Rick did a live stream with Renault, a live Q&A, and Lando joined in just for a laugh. And Danny Rick was like, he's the tech nerd. He's everywhere.
He's by far, like, the most entertaining person. Actually, you know, it's between him and Daniel Ricciardo, who is, like, I could just watch those guys all the time. They're just absolutely amazing. So who won the race again? I can't remember now. Give him his shout out. His time in the sun.
Guang Yuzhou from Renault. Renault won their first GP.
Congrats.
To be fair, he did a pretty great race. He was between him and, was it Philip Eng? Who was on pole from, Philip Eng was pole in the qualifying. And then, yeah, Guang Yuzhou managed to. It was a kind of a two-way battle pretty much the whole race. Because it was a 25% race. It was originally going to be a 50% race, but tech issues, which is a thing with esports, it happens all the time. Yeah, it was cut down to 25% race. So I think it was it 17 laps? I think it was. But yeah, 17 lap race. So I mean, it was pretty tight lap times to have actually that much action. If I'm honest, it was quite an entertaining race for just 17 laps.
Shout out to the guys on F1 Esports for keeping it going. Yeah. Here's your little plug. I just remembered I had that.
Hey,
little merch. Yeah. Little merch.
It was the first official esports GP, as in
really?
Not just esports, but esports GP. It's the first official one. And for a first go to have Liam Payne, Chris Hoy, Ian Poulter, Lando, Stoffel, like all of those people. It's a wicked race and it's a good way to start. So I think the next one is next weekend. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, Lando Norris is trying to get Albon involved. That'd be good. Need a bit of him.
Yeah, he's funny too, actually, to be honest with you. That's another one.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. We're going to get more races, and that's, you know, that's exciting.
I think it's a rumour, though. So the AlphaTauri boys. Oh, look at him. Oh, he's changing it. Oh,
how terrifying is that image?
Look at that.
I mean,
well,
I know it's a game. But that is like...
Who is that supposed to be?
Guang Yu, that's supposed to be Daniel Ricciardo. No,
Guang Yuzhou.
Oh right, okay. I was just like, I was quite confused there. I was like,
him in digital.
It was like a Ronaldo statue type of thing that was going on there for a second in my head.
This is the podium from the E-race. Terrifying. But you know, congratulations.
So on to which my favourite topic, gossip and rumours. The things that keeps us going. It's like the F1 equivalent of a football transfer window. there's a rumour now. Obviously, I think it's started by Bernie. Quote me if I'm wrong. And he's basically saying that Toto Wolff may be going to Aston Martin with his good buddy. Mr. Strong, am I right?
Well, that's what the rumor is at the moment. I mean, that's a Bernie rumor. I mean, we love Bernie, but you know,
he looks sneaky, doesn't he? He looks like he's off, he looks ready. He looks like he's off.
I love Toto. Say it ain't so.
I feel like so. Toto had said, I mean, there's been a lot of
stop putting yourself in the bits.
The audio on this podcast is going to be really weird to listen to. You have to watch the video as well.
Yeah, if you listen to this, just go to the YouTube channel. You listen to the whole podcast on Spotify, iTunes, any platform you found this, any bootleg method you did, LimeWire downloads, the whole works. Watch it again. Watch it again on YouTube because you're going to see our images.
What have we become? This is what time in your house does to all of us, honestly. Oh God, yeah. Sorry, go on, Sam.
Going back to Toto, I think so. Basically, there have already been rumours that when Lewis leaves, Toto may not stay, and I think there's still a bit of a rumour mill around whether Lewis is going to renew his contract. Nothing has been set in stone because there's no season right now. So there's no performance debates, any contract signings on. But right. If Lewis goes, I don't think Toto will stick around. And I think if Toto goes, Lewis will really consider his future at Mercedes. But actually, I think Toto's a brilliant CEO and he's very good friends with Lawrence Stroll. Like Lawrence Stroll has increased his investment in Aston Martin, both the road going division and the racing division. And so the rumour at the moment is that Toto is looking at going into the road division. So, you know, your Vanquishes and all those all those kind of cars. But whether he'll go to racing, I don't know. But, I mean, I would be very surprised if he doesn't go into the racing team. But at the same time, this is all still a rumour. So he could do another...
I don't want him to go. I like him where he is.
Oh, he, is it... I won't lie, part of me kind of wants to see an end to the Mercedes dominance. We see some shift in the grid. It's
time to freshen up, yeah.
So if Toto does go to Aston Martin Racing, not the road division, Aston Martin Racing, then I'm cool with that because I don't want Toto to leave Formula One. That's my biggest thing. I don't want him to go. I don't want him switching teams because if he can bring Racing Point or Aston Martin Racing Point, if it moves up to like to a second or third in the championship, I'm totally fine with that. I just don't want him to leave Formula One.
I see your point. I think I'm just so used to seeing what he's done with Mercedes that it'll be a shame if he moves on. Plus, as well, does that mean that like Lance Strong will be a contender for? Well, he'll be like one of the contenders for the championship. Some fans may not want that. Some fans.
If I'm gonna be honest, I think Lance Stroll's a really nice guy. I don't know if he's necessary. I'd agree. If I'm honest, I feel like
but he's not going to give him. I'm sure that comes as part of the package. Like, all right, okay, you can run this team, or we can run it together. But my son is going to be, the driver. Which that's, I think with some fans, I'm not speaking for my personal self, but for some fans, they don't want to see that because it's like that whole nepotism. He hasn't earned it properly. You know, he hasn't had to go through, you know, going through the worst teams and trying to figure out how to find money. If you look at people like, obviously, like, you know, my brain's dead today. You know, Lewis Hamilton. You look at some of the documentaries that we had. Yeah. Just like everyone, like, you know, who's actually had to find a sponsor, sometimes not be able to race. You know, all of these types of things. It's the whole story behind it. You know. That is appealing to me. So if you've just been given that, I don't know, some people may not like that. Not me personally, just in case. But
I agree. Like we know. Wait,
you're not a driver.
What? I know. What the hell is this?
No, sorry guys, my background's for some reason broken. Yeah, I agree. Like people know Formula One is a sport where you know you have to spend money to get into it. There is rare cases like Lewis and Esteban that have come up. I mean, Esteban's dad was, they were living in a caravan at one point to fund his dream, which is incredible. But at the same time, let's be honest, Lawrence Stroll is a billionaire and his son really wants to race. Are you going to say no to his son?
But it's just like, you know, the appealing things is like, you know, Albon, you know, as an example, like that part in spoiler alert, in case someone hasn't watched it, if you haven't really watched the Drive to Survive, I don't know what you're doing. Especially now we're all trapped in the house. So that baffles me why you wouldn't be watching that and why you'd be watching like Tiger King or whatever it's called. Are you guys not on that as well? Oh,
like
my Lord.
I like a car, but Lay Off a Tiger is my friend.
Awesome. Let me move on real quick. But like the whole thing with
completed Netflix. Like completely.
What have you finished the whole thing? All right, I might have to. You know what? I'm saying this now, but at some point, I'm going to be a bandwagon person because there'll be nothing else to watch, and I'll have to watch it. But back to Alex Albon. Like for me, like his whole story about. Do you remember? Obviously, there's a bit of it where he actually couldn't race because he didn't have a sponsor. So that's why people root for people like that because it's like you've overcome so much stuff to be able to just get in a seat, and that's why a lot of people, although you know. Different circumstances why he actually got into the actual Red Bull seat, but like everyone was cheering because he's a good guy and everyone roots for good guys to be able to win, you know? So in that sense, that's why.
Underdog story, isn't it? It's like even Charles Leclerc, like he's racing for Ferrari, but people sometimes forget that his dad died like 3 years ago. Like, and then the weekend later, he won back in GP, Formula 2 race. Like, that kid has resolve, like his godfather, Jules Bianchi, who lost his life in Suzuka. Like this kid, while he is an incredible driver, we don't think about his past as like, what he's been through, like we do with Esteban, and like we do with Lewis. He's been through some stuff, and like it takes to put your mind into that focus. And also, like him and Pierre, especially, you see in the episode of Drive to Survive where they lost Anthony Bear. Like, to go racing on Sunday and put everything into it, like that's incredible resolve. And I feel like those underdog stories that you see in this series, they're what people root for. And you know, your dad buying your seat, I'm
torn between that, because obviously I do like the stories and I do like the background and I do root for people to be able to achieve their goal. And it's such a hard thing to be able to do, like 20 drivers out. How many people would love to be able to drive or think they can, you know? But if his dad been you know, got in a position where he's financially able to be able to, you know, fulfill his son's dreams, then should he be looked upon differently than anyone else because of circumstances that not nothing to do with him?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's a really good point, because at the end of the day, actually, when you look back and kind of look at it from a distance, there is 20 drivers on the grid and Lance Stroll is not last every weekend. So he is a driver and he is good enough to race in Formula One. I just don't think he's world champ. But then again, you can't, everyone on the grid can't be world material.
Pressure like, makes diamonds, baby, as he said.
Right. But like, you know, we know how good like Nico Hülkenberg is. We all love that. Like, Hulk is one of my favorite drivers.
Yeah, and he's not got a seat. It's weird to me.
He's not got a seat and he's also never had a podium. So we know Nico's a very good driver, but it doesn't mean he has to win. So you're right in the fact that I want Lance Stroll to be able to separate that story. So he's had one podium. So he's had one more podium than Nico. He's had one podium. So if he can get a couple more like that, I feel like if he can just show he's a really good driver, then I feel like that rumor that connection may split a bit. But then again, if Toto goes in as CEO of Aston Martin Racing, maybe, you never know.
Well, you got pressure on your backside. Actually, to be honest with you, let's just see what he's got this season when it eventually starts. Because, you know, obviously there's this engine, the whole chassis, and you know, they're supposed to be one of the contenders, because obviously they just pretty much, it's a Mercedes car B.
That's why Toto's a race.
Yeah. So I was just like, let's see how you go. That's his trial. Hands-off trial. So look, he had the car from last year that won the championship. Like, if he didn't win, you know, you might have to let him go. Imagine having to fire your son. Like,
he's a long job.
Imagine that conversation. Yeah. So tell us about this. Tell us about this new gripes from Williams and Racing Point as well, actually, while we're on the subject.
So actually talking about Racing Point. So David Richards, who is the head of Motorsport UK, has basically said that, so back when Bernie was running Formula One, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bernie had this, Bernie was loved by every team owner. Well, not, I'd say loved is a big word, but he was respected and loved by every team owner, because Bernie wanted teams to be in Formula One. He didn't want to have this iron fist that slammed down on teams and, you know, you're not performing or any this kind of stuff. So there's this rumor that Williams and Racing Point could face financial difficulty because of the coronavirus issues. And then, and David Richards, who used to be a team principal himself at BAR, has basically said Chase Carey or Formula One should start looking after teams that are in these financial difficulties or these financial situations. Mm-hmm. Because that's what Bernie used to do. And yeah, you know, that's fair enough. That is what Bernie used to do. But we are in a new era of Formula One now, with Liberty taking over. But at the same time, it's up to Formula One to make sure that there is a grid. So if Williams, I mean, Claire Williams has already said, like, this season is going to be difficult. Last season was already difficult. You know, they've got to build a new car. And Williams haven't got the biggest of budgets.
Yeah. So,
and Williams are a team that no one wants to see in Formula One. Like, everyone wants to see Williams back up there. Like, the last thing you want to see is Williams go out. So I like the statement from David Richards is asking Chase Carey to make sure these teams are looked after. Because, you know, in the early, 2006 to 2010, 12, 13, we went through like four or five different teams on the grid. We had Marussia, we had Force India, like we had Caterham and Lotus. Like, there's so many team changes. I mean, it was people buying out the teams, which is, you know, it's to see that happening again. Like, we've got some good teams, right? Of course, they change names, like Racing Point changing, but the team is the same. But when you go bankrupt and someone has to buy your team out, a lot of the time they just replace the entire team. And we don't want to see that with Williams. We don't want to see that with Racing Point. Even though we're talking about Lawrence Stroll, like he's that Racing Point is a good team.
Mm. I personally root for Claire, you know, Williams herself, because and definitely, you know, back to that Netflix series after, I think it actually, you know, you just rooted for her. I mean, she would do anything to make sure that her team wins, or like, you know, to you know, you're driving with the engine yourself. Like, come on, like that's something that we're used to doing, that type of stuff, that bootlegging. Like, you know, you're not really supposed to be here type of, you know, you're actually walking around with the engine in your hand, like that type of stuff. Like, I'm used to, and as we all are, used to that type of stuff. But like, for her to be doing that and not care what people think, and just literally just want your team to actually get on the grid, like, that's amazing. So, I'll be rooting for Williams, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. And I think they're a heritage team, you know.
So there's a Matt, there's this F1 social takeover that I personally missed, you know, running around after younglings.
Absolutely. But
tell me about that.
That's the thing, right? You know, like, I think a lot of drivers, a lot of teams are unusually, well, of course, are going a bit more quiet on social. It's not a lot that's really been going on. And actually, in the past week, well, everyone's back at their families, and rightly so. Not much really has been going on. Esteban Ocon's found the time to, you know, continue his kind of way of reintroducing himself to the F1 world. He was part of a little kind of social takeover on the F1 social channels. I think it was today, maybe it was yesterday, but and not a lot really going on. The man's training like anyone else. One Instagram story slate was him with a kitten, and then he was racing remote control cars in a car park. So all seems to be going well in his camp. He's doing his thing, and yeah, I just think, you know, a lot of racers are, you know, trying to do their best, try and find things to do in the meantime. And
yeah, definitely,
you know, it's hard times. You know, not a lot's been going on. Lewis Hamilton's been quite quiet since self-isolating. Obviously he's completely healthy and whatnot, yeah. But
he did a video of him washing his hands.
Exactly. Like, so, you know, he's got the priorities right, and you know, it's not a lot really going on, is there? You know,
Lando effectively now is Formula One pretty much.
Well, we've got Danny Rick that's driving tractors.
Oh yes. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he's popping up with bits.
On his Q&A, they dared him to jump in the pool, which he did, funnily enough. He kept his band entertained and he head dived into a pool. But yeah, I mean, driving the tractor is a hilarious video. It's been seen by like 750,000 people now, by the way, which is great exposure to this tractor that Danny Rick's driving.
That's incredible.
His dad's an earth mover, so like when he goes home to Australia, he just likes to get on a tractor and just chill out. I think, I mean, if I was him, I'd love to chill out on a tractor, to be fair.
He's finding any way to actually just be driving in any form of way at all. Something, yeah. Just something, anything.
I've been I was spending the last 2 minutes trying to time that, and I completely failed. I was like, as soon as we're gonna hit that topic,
just for the people on the podcast,
I was literally padding. I was literally padding and filling. I didn't want to talk about Ocon. I was trying to get onto this, and I was struggling at the same time. Trying to get an image.
You know what? I must say, so people can't see this, you'd have to go on the YouTube video, and then you'll see that Matt looks like he's sitting on Daniel Ricciardo's lap.
Can I make it look like he's holding me?
Oh, God, I don't know what they found in this thing. Honestly, this is amazing.
I love what he, I love what he said. It's just, you know, well on top of Danny Rick. I love the way he said, you know, once we're back to racing, he wants to start from the back of the grid. He wants to do George Russell. He wants to sit back during the Renault Q&A on their Instagram. He's like, look, mate, it's going to get real. He wants to stand at the back. He wants the mayhem to unfold. There's a lot of guys jumping in the bit that want to race again. He's so calm. This is why the guy's singing, having a good time on the tractor. He doesn't. When we're back. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to sit back. I'm going to watch everyone do their thing. I'm going to chill. Let them all smash and send it into that first corner. And then he's going to come through. P1, mate. Sorted.
I mean, he's been actually on that because obviously I've been rooting for him to move, you know, because I want him front of the grid competing because I just think he's an amazing driver. He's supposed to be now, rumours are, that he's much happier at Renault. So it looks like he may be re-signing. So he's going to mess up my 2021 prediction. We have to put that video together for you guys at some point, or podcast as well.
Who was it that said that? Who made that quote? Was it Bernie? Was it? I can't remember.
Bernie's been up to bits again.
Bernie.
I don't know. I'm quoting this from the good folks at Planet F1. So if I'm wrong, you can contact them. he's basically going to just use some quotes to be able to say that he's looking at his car. Pre-season testing's gone a lot better than planned, and he's quite happy. So as long as they're competing, he's not going to move anywhere. Because I actually do want a shake up of the teams. I do enjoy it when there's like new drivers on new teams. I think it's just the same way with the football transfer. Everyone's like kind of waiting for their team to be able to buy a new. Sorry, this thing's distracting with Daniel Ricciardo and Matt on the tractor. it'll be good if they can either A, compete, which I'm rooting for. I just want him to be at the front with Renault, or if he has to move on with my prediction in Ferrari or Mercedes.
Yeah, I feel that. I think I read the same article as you, actually. He's happier with his car, is what they've said. I think that's good. I feel like after testing, I mean, the car's good. I mean, it wasn't exceptional. It wasn't anything standout. But I feel like for a Renault that, I won't say struggled last season, but they wanted to be fourth and they were beaten by McLaren, I feel like it's a good position, especially to have Danny Rick, like, passionate again. Like, not that he wasn't passionate last year, but then to come out and say, yeah, the car's good, I'm looking forward to racing. I feel like that's, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? It just popped into my head. I'm not going to fall for anything that these guys say, because F1 is equals Game of Thrones. It's like everyone lies and said, like, you know, obviously you remember that uncomfortable conversation that Hulkenberg had in on the plane with Cyril. I'm saying like I know them, like I was in the plane as well. But I don't believe anything that these guys say at all, because I think that you know, obviously it benefits my prediction of him moving somewhere. But I think that they just say things at the moment just to be able to, on that day, keep people quiet. Mm-hmm. And then there's a long-term plan. Because obviously we all thought that he was going to re-sign with Red Bull. We thought it was just a given. And when he moved, we was like, what? This is craziness. So, you know, is there any moves that you guys would like to happen in F1?
Now I've heard the rumour that Toto may go to Aston Martin, I definitely want Lewis Hamilton to go to Ferrari. Just saying.
I just want Lando Norris at the top, the end.
hey.
I want Lando and Lando Butt, both seats Mercedes. Happy days.
Under the Lando Butt. Jesus.
I love that.
It's in Russian.
Big promo. <It's in Russian>. Guys, thank you very much for. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just about to say, yeah, Hamilton to Ferrari. That's all I want.
That's your one. Didn't he used to get booed by their fans? Obviously for different reasons, but didn't.
Not when he's winning. Not when they win gold again, true. Baby. That is true.
That would be him and Charles Leclerc. That would be an amazing fight. That would be a battle royal. I'll tell you that now. I'll tell you. But guys, thank you very much for spending more time with us this week. I mean, I'm hoping that we've provided some type of entertainment for you guys stuck at home. You know, we will keep on trying to do our best to be able to give you news, gossip, and our own personal points of view in a different way than other people are hoping we have. We've got some great interviews coming up with some F1 YouTubers coming up, interview coming up with F1 Tomo, who's one of the people that we've been rooting for, and he's a very good channel as well, so check that out. And many others come in. We're having some drivers come. Sorry, Sam, I thought you froze there for a second. This is actually perfectly still there.
He's waiting for the good news.
So we got some F1 drivers obviously in the future when things get going, and then obviously the W Series, which we'll be covering. So we'll definitely be looking at a deep dive into the world of the W Series, so we can actually get you guys familiar with the races, and then possibly what could happen, and we could be rooting for our first F1 driver, female driver, for 44 years, I believe it is, or something along that line. Yeah. But until next week, guys, thank you guys for joining us
thank
again.
You.
And so we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
See you later. Stay safe.